You have to be prepared for it. You can't be prepared for it if you don't know what the ultimate objective is. This is why the founding fathers had these things, what they call committees of correspondence. A Facebook or a Google Hangout group. I know you don't want to use the oligarchy. Or a chat room. It would basically be a committee of correspondence. And you would have the Louisiana committee, mine, meet with the online. So you could do that, easily done. Meet with committees of correspondence from other states. You know, you kind of need people in other states that would want to be leaders in such an endeavor. But they had these committees of correspondence, and they talked about what was going on, what the king was doing with their royal governor to screw their lives up and their fortunes and sacred honor and all that. And then ultimately, what did they do? They agreed to, think about this, folks. You see, this is why I get paid the little bucks or none at all. So no one's contributing at crusadechannel.com/chat.
Gaston just contributed.
Oh, that was the phone call?
Yeah, via the website, but.
Ah! Yay! Thank you. There's not enough me's out there to explain this to you like this. When the first Continental Congress, and by the way, this is in my movie, The Road to Independence, the movie, 2 DVD set, which all of you should have a copy of, just to get an idea of how they did it. When they met in September of 1774, after their various committees of correspondence had agreed that we need to have a meeting. Yeah, let's have a big hoop-de-doo meeting. Yeah, let's call it a Congress. They took the name Congress, I think, from Africa. I forget the etymology of the word, but it doesn't matter. They took the word Congress, and they said, we'll call it a Congress. Before the United States Congress, there had been other Congresses. They just didn't stand the test of time, but Congress just basically means that there is a meeting of representatives. Think about what they did in September of 1774. Let's go down to colony states here so you completely understand this. And so you don't think I'm a flaming lunatic nutbag. Start up in the north there. New Hampshire, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Kent-on-Sussex, or what we call Delaware today, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. There's your 13. All right, I just gave you 13. Here's a question for all of you enterprising revolutionaries out there. Were there legislative bodies that claimed that they had all proper right, power, and authority to make and enforce law, and who might have even been meeting in September of that year in those 13 colonies? That's a very simple question. Can you answer it? Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. All right, you know the answer to the question. The answer is yes. So, why would this extracurricular body called the Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia, what would they think that they could do? Legislature, the royal governor of Virginia, Lord Dunmore, had previously closed the House of Burgesses down, the Virginia Assembly, and said, we're going to have a whole new election. You guys are all fired. My point being that when the first Continental Congress met and they appointed Charles Thompson as a secretary, which means he got to take notes, and they met in this place called Carpenter's Hall, which is down the street from Independence Hall, what we call Independence Hall. Then it was just called the Pennsylvania State Pennsylvania Supreme Court Building, I believe. When they had that meeting, what did they think that they were doing? I mean, they had kind of been elected, but not really. When John Adams got up to speak and was just started, and you see this in the movie Road to Independence on two DVD set, great Christmas gift. Everyone should have a copy anyway. And when Adams got up to speak, thinking that he was going to be the leader, and started babbling, and Patrick Henry had to bail him out, what did they think they were going to accomplish? First thing they voted on was to do what? Wasn't to make war. Wasn't to pass any laws. What's the first thing they voted on? Who was going to take notes? And this Charles Thompson guy went, I'm pretty good with a pen. He kind of raised his hand, and they went, all right, Thompson, you're the secretary. Then they said, all right, well, we need a president. And it wasn't John Hancock. I think it was Peyton Randolph of Virginia. And they went, yeah, Randolph's a good speaker and all that. Then they went, like, this room is really small. There's 60 of us in here, but it's made for 12. Well, I hear the Pennsylvania courthouse might be open. And then they moved it down the road to what we call Independence Hall. It was not called that at the time. And the rest, as they say, is history. But just think about what they were doing then. They actually met to form a new government that would rebel against the current government in place, because they thought the current government, and most were mostly correct, had violated the contract, the terms of agreement. They breached it. King and Lord North and the Parliament had breached it. The royal governors were trying to enforce it. That's really all you're talking about doing. Such was not the case in South Carolina in 1860 when they seceded. They just went, Pontius Pilate, watch this. hey, you, hey, Lama, give me anything of water. They just all went and dunked their hands in the water, went, we wash our hands of the Union. We're not involved with them anymore. Of course, Lincoln and his illegal and despicable and diabolical war against the South. We're not going to talk about that today. The point being, though, that when those states seceded, they left the Union. They said, bye. Kind of like a divorce, and then they formed a new one. This stuff isn't hard to figure out. You just got to be serious about it. Is anyone really serious about going, like, we are finished with Mordor, establishment Republicans that run it, the deep state that fleeces us and kills our sons in unwinnable, never-ending wars, etc., etc., the Democrat cult of death party, we're finished. We're just done. Constitution doesn't stop them anywhere. The courts won't stop them. Trump tried to stop them, and then you basically stole an election and installed a dictator in his place. We're done. Have a meeting. Simple as that. You could call it the new Continental Congress if you want. Does every state have to attend? We don't even have to attend by state if you don't want to. Maybe you attend by town. Maybe you attend by county. Is there really anything you can do that they could do? They could claim you're terrorists. What if you're very clear about your peaceful intents and purposes? Folks, that's what this entails here. Going on social media and threatening to do it, that doesn't do anything. Forming those committees that I had mentioned and then actually going, like, let's have a meeting. They can't stop us from having a meeting. There, you're going to violate COVID laws. Oh, well, we're going to go ahead and start ignoring your COVID laws, too. So Peter Maurice at Crisis Magazine writes this. So my point in bringing up the Founding Fathers is they were meeting and claiming they were a legislative body. They were meeting inside the state of Pennsylvania. Hell, they were meeting in his courthouse. While the royal governor of Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania Assembly basically claimed that it was in charge and in power. Did you know that, just as here's a great little trivial question here. Did you know that prior to the passage of the Declaration of Independence or to its being voted on. Now, again, were they a legitimate legislative body at the time? If you were an Englander, if you were a member of Parliament or King George III, no, the answer is no. When they had sent Ben Franklin to Canada, to Quebec, to go, hey, we want to make a partnership with you guys. The Quebecois went, pah, you will not be partners with us. You need to leave. And basically kicked Franklin out and said, how about we thought about it, how about no? It was the only country that said yes, and only after 3 years of begging, French. The French were the only ones who went, okay, we'll give you a shot. And the only reason they did it is because they hated the English. So my point in bringing that up here, and here's the trivia question. Prior to the Declaration, what had this Congress done? Again, was it a legitimate governing authority? Well, it knew it couldn't order the states to do anything. It knew that. It could suggest. So it would send these proclamations out and these declarations out, basically. This is the key one. In June, early June of 1776, after Richard Henry Lee got up and went, all right, that's it, we got to leave. And then gives you the legal part of the Declaration. Read the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. That basically is what's called the Lee Resolution. Again, this is why I get paid the little bucks here, because I repeat this stuff off the top of my head. That is the legal declaration that was made. That contains all the legalities. All that crap about inalienable rights and all that, that's just introduction, man. That's just prelude. All that is preamble to the legal part, which happened in early June. After Lee gets up and says that, the Congress then meets, and what do they do? They send his letter out. I forget who wrote the letter. They send his letter out to the state, the new state legislatures. Now, again, remember, you've got royal governors and royal legislatures in every colony. And then these guys have this central body called the Congress. And in each state, they have other extracurricular little governing bodies that they claim are actually in control, and that the royal ones are to be totally ignored. Doesn't matter what they do or what they say, you're fired, basically. So what did they send? They sent a letter out saying, look, if we're going to do this, then every one of these colonies that's claiming that they're their own independent state, you got to have this thing called a constitution. And you need to have it soon so we can form a union, basically. John Adams, for example, wrote the Massachusetts Constitution, which by most of which is still in effect today. The Virginians, they had a big hoop-de-doo convention, elected Patrick Henry as their first governor, and they wrote their constitution, and then the world's first Bill of Rights outside of the Magna Carta. And they put theirs into effect in late June. And then Henry took over as governor, and basically then kicked Dunmore out. They told the royal governor, Dunmore, you better leave, dude. If you don't leave, things are going to get really warm in your house and bad for you and your royal family. The point of this is, isn't it good to know this history? Because you kind of get an idea here so you can flesh out in your mind that, by gum, we could actually do this. Well, yeah, you could do this. It's only the goodwill of the American people operating in large part under the threat that the military will be called out to kill us if we try and redo this, which is basically what they did in 1860 and 61 and 62. You can't operate under that kind of fear. You don't know that it's going to turn out the same way. And the model is what happened then in 1774. So Maurice writes this about the portent of a Harris administration. See if this might stir you into congressional new Congress action. Aside from fervor for power, our new vice president, President Assumptive, fall outside of the usual historical groupings. In some ways, they stand alone. Ours is an age that ignores or hates the past, that pants for breakthroughs. First, the shattering of glass ceilings. While neither Biden nor his running mate stand out for selflessness or heroism or wit, they do satisfy the American appetite for firsts. He will be Banana Republic installed regime man number one. Congratulations, Biden. You are the first dictator of the North American continent.